Blog Talk Radio.
And I wish somebody so would.
It's on fire!
Oh,
it's on fire!
Oh.
Welcome back to the Fire of Love. We have an awesome show for you, but right now we're going to finish out the song. We have an awesome guest speaker, and we will tell you more about that, but right now let's catch on fire and then go before the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, God, to enter into your presence, God. We pray, God, that you would be the Lord of this show and the Lord of all we do, God. Bless every listener, God. Bless those that would have listened but or will listen later via archive. Bless our speaker today in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I am Minister Amen. Sophie, and you are listening to the Fire of Love. Kimberly, Pastor Kimberly Jones is in the house, and she is going to be, we're going to release the microphone to her in a minute. We want you, we just want y'all to know that we are still preparing for Kenya, and we are not going to give you any details on that today, because we want to allow our speaker to move as God would have her to move. I am blessed and honored to have Pastor Kimberly Jones of Prevailing Love Worship Center from all the way in Atlanta, Georgia, here with us today. She's also a life coach, but she's going to tell you all about herself. But I have been listening to her on Periscope, and she is an awesome anointed woman of God. And I really felt it would be good to have her on the show. So please welcome Pastor Kimberly Jones. Praise the Lord, Pastor Kimberly. How are you today? The floor is yours.
Hallelujah. I am doing well, Minister Sophie. I am so thrilled and honored to be on your broadcast today, on your radio show today. It is a definite honor to be able to share the platform with you via technology. I thank God for that. As a matter of fact, that's how we became acquainted, as Minister Sophie mentioned a little earlier, that we became acquainted on Periscope. And I thank God that, you know, there's a lot of things that are created and, you know, in technology and things of that sort and in the world. But I am always thrilled when these things can be used to advance the kingdom of God. And I believe that God connections like the one that myself and Minister Sophie have made is definitely one that's going to advance the kingdom of God. And I thank God for her. I thank God what she is doing with this radio show here, The Fire of Love. I thank God just for her love for people and her desire to be a blessing to the people of God. And so I thank you so much, and I honor you this afternoon for who you are. Like Minister Sophie said, my name is Pastor Kimberly Jones, and I reside here all the way on the other side of the country in Georgia, and actually live in Snellville, Georgia. But my husband and I pastor a church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And so we're all in the Atlanta, the metro area here. And we have been pastoring for a little over 13 years now. And it has just been awesome to see God move in the midst of us. You know, it's always an honor to be used of God. And myself and my husband is Apostle Lewis D. Jones, Jr. He's our senior pastor at Prevailing Love. And I tell you, he's an awesome man of God because he loves the Lord, of course, but then he also, he loves me. I thank God for that. And he doesn't let me sit by and just do nothing. He has been my biggest advocate and fan during these years of ministry, and I thank God for him even releasing me today to allow me to minister on the Fire of Love. And so we honor him and all of the Prevailing Love Worship Center family that might be listening right now. I know a couple of them said that they would probably tune in. So we thank God for anyone who's listening right now. And it is our desire today that the Word of God will bless you, because I don't believe things happen by accident when we are part of the kingdom of God. I believe that our steps are ordered. Even on the internet, our steps are ordered. And so I think that's enough about me. I love the Lord. I am just determined to fulfill purpose and destiny. And the thing that you should know about me, too, is that I am determined that those who are connected to me would also fulfill purpose and destiny. Minister Sophie mentioned that I am a certified professional life coach, in addition to being a co-pastor. And whether I am wearing my hat of co-pastor or life coach, one thing always remains true, and that the fact that God is the head of my life and that he is leading me no matter what assignment I'm on. And I always refer to the word of the Lord. That is my foundation, of course, when I'm preaching and ministering, and it is also my foundation when I am coaching individuals. I believe that our purpose begins and it end and everything in the middle of it is founded upon what God says about us. And so I think that really is enough about me now. We are going to go through the Word of God this afternoon. We're going to pray first. Let's pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this afternoon, first of all, giving you praise and glory and honor for who you are. You are an awesome God, and we love you. We love you, oh God. We love the fact that we can connect with you and with each other, Lord, on this platform of Blog Talk Radio. We thank you, Lord, that you are yet in the midst of us, even as the word will go forth this afternoon. I thank you, God, that you are in total and complete control. I decree right now that it's all of you and, God, none of me. I don't want my flesh to glory at all in your presence, but, Father, I pray that this word that goes forth this afternoon will be a blessing, that it will stir up something on the inside of your people, that it will incite change, Father, transformation in the lives of those who would listen this afternoon. God, it's all about you, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you can do all things. And so, Lord, for every listener who is tuned in this afternoon, I thank you, Father, that this word will be revelatory for them, that it will be a word that will push them into the next dimension of their purpose and their destiny, that it will shake loose the fetters and the bonds and the chains that may have them down, oh God, or may hold them down. And we thank you, Lord, that the liberty of you is just flowing through the lines today, God. And Father, we'll just be so sure, God, to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, because it indeed belongs to you. Amen and amen. This afternoon, I just want to speak to you for a moment about your promise and about your purpose. And we're going to go to the Word of God. I always have to start off with the Word of God, over in Genesis, the 21st chapter. And we're going to start at the 12th verse, and we're going to go through verse 20. And I'm going to read that. I hope you have your Bibles handy or some type of electronic device. And I hope you have some paper and pen handy, because I do believe that the Lord is going to speak to you through this message this afternoon. I believe that you're going to receive instruction. So be ready to jot some things down and to so you can remember what God is saying and just to be in tune with what's being ministered this afternoon. So we're going to read Genesis 21. We're going to start at verse 12, and we're going to go through verse 20. Verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spit in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Amen. So this afternoon, what I want to encourage you to do is to get up, to pick it up, and to hold on to it. Again, get up, pick it up, and hold on to it. When I say give those commands this afternoon, I'm referring to your promise. I'm referring to your purpose. Because many times, as people of God, when we are walking out the promises of God, isn't always easy. You know, there are some things that happen and occur in our lives. There's some situations that arise that we didn't ask for. There's some things that come along. There are some situations that seem to just stop us dead in our tracks, some things that we didn't ask for, that we didn't sign up for. But guess what? We were chosen for it. And so we have to continue to move on. We cannot drop our promise. We cannot throw it away. There are some things that others could not handle, that others could not carry, and the Lord made you fertile for the job. When we look at this story, this account here in the Bible, we're going to see that that is what has happened in the case of Hagar. You know, there are some things that are your responsibility to bring forth. There are some things in life that have been designated for you to produce. There are some things that God has called you to position in the earth realm, and it's up to you to bring it forth and to keep it alive. You know, there are some concepts in reproduction that kind of apply to what we're talking to this afternoon. One of those concepts is fertility. Fertility is our natural capability to produce offspring. That's our ability. That means that we were wired as women, and men have their role that they play in that. And the fertility says that we have the capability to produce offspring. It speaks totally to our ability. But there is another term called fecundity. Fecundity is not talking about our ability to produce, but it's talking about our potential to produce and to reproduce. Where fertility talks about our ability, fecundity talks about the realization, the utilization, and the exercising of those that God has put on the inside of us to bring life forth. We can be fertile and not be fecund. We can have the ability to produce. We can be wired to produce. But if we don't do or go through the necessary steps to bring forth life, the fertility is nothing but a state of our being. It's something that we have. But when we begin to use it is when we begin to see things produced in our lives. You'll see how this is all going to tie up. So keep those terms in mind. So let's look at the story here in Genesis 21. We have the account of Hagar, and where we started off in the 12th verse, this is the point in Hagar's life where Abraham and Sarah make the decision to send her away. We remember earlier on in Genesis when Hagar was on the run before. You remember when it was Sarah's idea for Abraham to marry Hagar to bring forth, because they were tired of waiting for God to produce his promise. And so they came up with their own idea of how to make that thing happen. You know how that is when you get tired of waiting on God and you begin to say, I'm going to take things and matters into my own hands. And we began to come up with our own ideas about how to make our promise come forth. And so when that happened back in Genesis 16, Hagar was on the run back then, and she began to flee. And when she fled, she had an encounter with God in that place that she fled, and he sent her back. He sent her back. And so here we have in the 21st chapter, it looks like Hagar is on the run again, except this time it's because she was sent out. It's because she was cast out. It's because people had banished her. Abraham and Sarah had banished her from being among them and their family, because at that point, Isaac had come forth. Isaac had come forth. And so it was 14 years from the first time that Hagar ran up until this point now where we see her being dismissed again. Do you understand what I'm talking about this afternoon? Sometimes, you know, it seems like everything is going along smoothly. You may have experienced some bumps and have experienced some crossroads in your life, but sometimes we get in that vein where it seems like everything is going pretty good. Have you ever been in that season of your life where it seems like things were coming along and things were working out and everything that you touched seemed to work and it seemed like the favor of God was on your life, and then all of a sudden, what seems to be out of nowhere, you are faced with a challenge? You know, the first thing that I want you to understand in what I'm speaking this afternoon and in this message is that life is not always fair, and sometimes it will change without notice. We've seen that in recent times on a global level. We've seen things change around the world. We've seen things change right here in our country. We've seen some legislative laws being passed that has really taken many by surprise. But us, we who are part of the body of Christ, we should not be so surprised, because the Bible tells us that there were going to be perilous times in the last days and that people were going to begin to do some perilous things. And so when these things come upon us, we shouldn't be too surprised, because it's just prophecy being fulfilled. Our responsibility is to line ourselves up. But that change happens on a global level without us expecting it. And change happens in our personal lives without us expecting it. You know what I'm talking about. It seems like things are going along just fine with your finances, and then all of a sudden something will go out of whack, and it seems like your finances are turned upside down. Or things in your family seem to be going well, and then out of nowhere, your children will start acting like they've lost their minds. Or your marriage will begin to be challenged on all kinds of levels. Life is not always fair, and change will indeed come without notice. That's what happened to Hagar here. She had been in a good position for 14 years. I'm sure that she was comfortable by now. They had figured out how to work out the family dynamics of Ishmael and Isaac and Sarah and Hagar and Abraham. It seems like for 14 years, they probably figured out how to make all this thing gel and work. And then all of a sudden, something changed. You know, Hagar was in a position where she was really the other woman. She was in an inferior position. She had settled into a position of inferiority. And see, sometimes that happens to us. We will settle in a position, we'll be comfortable in a position, and it's not quite where God has called us. It's not quite leading to where we are supposed to be. It's not quite the place of purpose. And so God sometimes will shake things up. He will make us uncomfortable in order to get us moving in the trajectory that he has planned and designated for our lives. And so that's what was happening to Hagar here. Things began to change in her life. And so the first thing that I want you to record is that life is not always fair, and that change will come without notice. But change is good. Write that down. Change is good. Many times we think that change is bad, because what does it do? It messes up our schedules. It messes up our plans. It messes up everything that we had orchestrated in our minds about how life would be. But how many know that the plans of God override our plans? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But we just have to go with what God is doing. And so what happened here is that Abraham decided, along with Sarah, that it was time for Hagar and Ishmael to leave after 14 years. And so the Bible says there in verse 14, it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and he gave it to Hagar, and she put it on her shoulder along with the child, and she departed, and she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." Right before that, in verse 13, we see that God speaks to Abraham and tells him, "Look, don't fret, don't worry about it. I got a plan for Hagar and Ishmael. Go on and do what Sarah has said. I'm going to take care of that." He told him, "I'm going to make him a great nation because he's thy seed, because he came forth out of you, Abraham. No matter where he ends up, he is going to be a great nation." And that's what we have to understand as children of promise, as the seed of Abraham, that when God has called us forth, it doesn't matter what our situation is like. When he has ordained greatness for our life, it doesn't matter if the money's right. It doesn't matter if the family's right. It doesn't matter if it seems like everybody is for you or everybody is against you, because you are the seed of Abraham, because God has called you forth even before you were formed in your mother's womb. You better know that you are going to be great. Hallelujah. I need somebody to hold on to that word right there this afternoon. You're going to be great. I don't care what you're going through right now. There is purpose to your life. This is a season not only for you to know that you can be great, like we talked about with the concept of fertility. It's one thing to know that I can't produce, but it's a whole nother ballgame to go out there and to position myself to begin to produce and exercise the abilities that God has given me. This is the season for you to position yourself to bring forth the promise of God. This is the season for you to say the same thing that God is saying about you. And so here we know that God had given Abraham a promise already. This was a promise about what was going to happen with Ishmael. No, he was not the promised seed because Isaac was, but there was still purpose on his life. And some of us have looked at others around us, and we've compared ourselves, and we look at the Isaac in our lives. We look at people who seem to be doing so well, people who seem to have it all together, people who seem to have the Midas touch, that everything that they do seems to work out. And we begin to look at those individuals, and we begin to compare ourselves and say, Lord, why don't I have that favor on my life? But I'm here to tell you this afternoon that you have purpose on your life. It's not going to look like Isaac's purpose. It's not going to play out like Isaac's purpose is playing out. Your purpose is your purpose. And what God has for you is for you. And so here we see that the Bible, Hagar, she took what she had there. She took her child. She took the provision, the bread, and the water. That was the provision, y'all. That was the provision that she walked out with on this journey. But she found herself in a wilderness place of Beersheba. Now, sometimes when we were walking out our promise, what we will find is that we enter into a wilderness place. But we see here that Abraham had given her a water, and he had given her bread and water. We've heard of that before. People who are in prison sometimes, and way back when, that used to be a form of punishment. And I even read that even today in prison, when people are penalized for bad behavior, they will begin to be put away, and all they're given is bread and water, and it seems like a type of punishment. Right now, your purpose and where you are and what God has lined up in your life, you may feel like you're being punished. You may feel like all I have is some bread and some water. You may feel like you do not have the provision to go forth in what God has called you to do. But I'm here to tell you this afternoon that what you have in your hand is more than enough to fulfill the purpose that God has on your life. Don't minimize the bread and the water. Don't minimize your gift. Don't minimize the fact that God has put something on the inside of you, hallelujah, that has been called to be great. Don't minimize it, because God has called it to be great. But inevitably, sometimes we will find ourselves in a wilderness situation. That's what happened to Hagar. When she went out, the Bible says that she departed, and she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When I read that in the Amplified, it says, and she wandered on aimlessly and lost her way in the wilderness of Beersheba. She lost her way in the wilderness. Have you ever lost your way in the wilderness? Have you ever found yourself in a dry place? Have you ever ended up or wound up in a place where it seemed to be like there was no provision, like there was no way out, like there was nothing growing, like there was nothing producing in that season or in that era of your life? That's what we call a wilderness situation or a wilderness season. But it does not mean that you do not still have purpose and that you do not still have a destiny. Now, when we look at that word wilderness, it is derived from the notion of wildness. Wilderness is derived from the notion of wildness. And when we think about wildness, what do we think about? We think about something or someone that is out of control. We think about a situation or a circumstance of something that has no order, where there seems to be confusion. And sometimes that's what our wilderness seasons look like. It seems to look crazy and wild, and it seems to have no order and no rhyme and no reason. This happens in our wilderness situations. In the wilderness, it's a place that's not controlled by humans. That's what I need you to know this afternoon. Even though the wilderness is wild and there's some things going on there that seem to be dry and empty, one thing that we should note about the wilderness is that it is not controlled by humans. I love that. I love that. It's not controlled by humans. What does that mean? That in your wilderness season, it's not in your control. In your wilderness season, it is out of your hands. Somebody needs to praise God about that. That when you think that you are all by yourself and that you have to figure this thing out because nothing is happening, you better know that it is out of your hands. It is out of your hands. And what you need to do is take your hands off of it and begin to see what God is doing. In the wilderness, it is not modified by human activity. Hear what I'm saying this afternoon. There's someone that's been trying to work this thing out really tough and really hard. You've been trying to come up with a solution like Sarah did when she introduced Hagar into the picture because God wasn't moving fast enough for her. There's somebody that's listening this afternoon. You've been trying everything. The ministry is not working, and you're trying to make it work with human intervention. I encourage you this afternoon to get in a place of prayer and begin to seek God, that whatever it is that God has called you to do, he has the instructions. In this wild place, in this barren place, in this wilderness place, it's not about what you can control, but it's about what God can do. God can make something from nothing. Hallelujah. In the place of wilderness, natural processes operate without human intervention. See, there are some things that are happening behind the scenes in your wilderness situation. Just like Hagar found herself wandering in the wilderness, and she began to think that this was her place of death. The Bible says in verse 15 that the water was spit in the bottle, and then she cast the child under one of the shrubs. The water was spit that was in the bottle. The provision that she was given by Abraham when he cast her out and sent her forth, it was gone. It was gone. And that may be the situation for you today. You look and you don't see any resources. You even feel like you're in a deficit when it comes to your worship. You can't access God. You feel like there's been a wall of separation put up. But I'm telling you, it's not about what you do in the natural in this season. It's about what you do in the spiritual realm. This is the season for you to begin to seek and search after God with your whole heart, not with your natural mind, not with your natural faculties. But this is a place where you got to open up your spirit and begin to cry out to God because you're in this wilderness place. When we're in wilderness places, it's hard to worship. When we find ourselves in wilderness places, it's hard to get a praise out. But I encourage you this afternoon. I encourage you this afternoon, I implore you this afternoon to go back to that place of intimacy with God. It's time for you to get up, pick it up, and hold on to it. It's time for you to change your mind about your promise. Somebody on the line this afternoon, because you're in a wilderness place, you think God has changed his mind, and so you've changed your mind. No, God gave you that gift. God created you to teach. God created you to evangelize. God is the one that called you to the fivefold ministry. God is the one that called you to go back and get your education so that you can be an integral part of all of the mountains, the cultural mountains in our society. We weren't called to hide in a corner, but God has raised us up and built us up for such a time as this to go out and be a voice for him in every arena of society. But because we go through wilderness situations, we begin to think that it's not what God said it is. It is what God says it is. You know, many times we say that phrase, and I hear people say, well, it is what it is. Every time I hear it, I cringe. Why? Because when we say it is what it is, we leave it just up to natural and human responsibility. We tend to just throw it away when we say it is what it is. I always say, no, it is what God says it is. Don't let those words come out of your mouth, because what you're doing is you're saying, I'm leaving it to happen, champ. Whatever happens, happens. But I'm here to decree over your life this afternoon that in your wilderness season, that it is what God says it is. You know, there's something else that's interesting about the wilderness. In the wilderness, there are just certain plants and vegetation that only grow in wilderness environments. Yeah, there are only certain plants. There are some plants and some forms of vegetation that will only produce in wilderness situations. Yeah, and I'm talking to you this afternoon. There is something in your wilderness season that's going to grow. There's something that's growing right now. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But the wilderness season was necessary because there are some things that God wanted to get up out of you. There are some things that he wanted you to begin to tap into. See, there's more to you than meets the eye. You've been walking around like you're less than what God has called you. But God has called you to be kings and priests. He's called us to be the head and not the tail. He's called us to be blessed on every level, coming and going in the city and in the field. And sometimes it causes for us to go through a wilderness period for those parts of us to grow and to mature so that when we come up out of our wilderness, we'll be able to handle what's coming next. There are some things. Your faith needs to grow. God is calling your faith to another level in this wilderness season. Yeah, he's calling you to another level of spiritual maturity. We tend to turn and run to God in times of wilderness. Yeah, because we call out to him because in this season we can't do anything. Remember I said in the wilderness, no, there's no human intervention there. And so it causes us to run into him like never before. And so our time with him increases. Our intimacy with him increases. Our worship increases. Our knowledge of the word of God, how to relate to people, that increases because we need to get some things done. And so know that in this wilderness situation, in this wilderness season, there are some things that are growing on the inside of you. There are some gifts and talents that will grow because you are out of control. It is not in your control. Remember, in the wilderness, it's not in your control. And so God is calling you to another place of spiritual maturity in this season. And so Hagar found herself in the wilderness, and the Bible says that the water was spit in the bottle. And it says in verse 16, it says that she went and she sat down over against him because she had thrown the child under the shrub. And the Bible says she went and she sat down over against him a good way off, a good way off. Why? Because it says that she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and she lifted up her voice, and she began to weep. She cast the child under one of the shrubs. Sometimes when we go through wilderness situations and we've been displaced, like Hagar was, we begin to take the promise and the purpose of God, and we begin to throw it aside. That's what Hagar did. She didn't remember that the word was spoken to her back earlier on, even before Ishmael was born, that there was going to be something great. No, he wasn't Isaac, but there was still something for him to do. She forgot about that word. She forgot about the word that Abraham was even given before he sent them out, that God was going to make a great nation of Ishmael. And she forgot about that. And she began to throw the promise aside. And you have thrown the promise aside because it hasn't produced as quickly as you may have thought that it should. You don't see things moving. You don't see things happening for you. And so you may have put your promise and your purpose aside. You may have talked yourself out of even believing that you can do it. But you can do it. I believe in you this afternoon. Why? Because you're the seed of Abraham. And if you're the seed of Abraham, that means that there is great fruit that is to come from your life. And there is time and there is a season. The Bible says that as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and there's harvest. This is harvest time in your life. And so you cannot just throw your promise aside. When we begin to turn our head and not work on our dreams and our visions anymore, when we don't dedicate any time to equipping ourselves and qualifying ourselves for what God has called us to, that's representative of us throwing the child in the shrub. So we begin to throw our promise aside when we don't allow God to grow us up in it, when we don't allow God to give us the next steps of instructions on how to get to the next level. where we're not able or willing to go through whatever we need to go through in order to grow. This is time for exponential growth in the body of Christ. But you can't do it if you've thrown your promise under the bushes, if you put your promise down, if you talk yourself out of your destiny. You can't expect to see anything grow. And so that's what Hagar did. She threw the baby aside because she didn't want to see it. She said, I don't even want to see. She was so sure that the baby was going to die because there was no more water in the bottle and there was no more bread. It seemed like everything had dried up in her wilderness place. And she didn't even want to see it. Some of us have turned our eyes. We've turned blinded eyes to the thing that God has called us to. But I'm here to open up an awareness on the inside of you and bring you to a point of awareness this afternoon that there is a job for you to do, that the earth is groaning in expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. And the earth is crying out. It's crying out in earnest expectation of you manifesting your gift in this season and in this time. You can't throw the promise aside. I don't care if you haven't picked up your book in a year. You need to pick it up and begin writing again. I don't care if you haven't written the song or sung the song. You need to begin to sing the song of the Lord again. If you stopped your education because it got too hard or you didn't have time, I promise you, if you pick it up in this season, God is going to bless it and he's going to anoint you and he's going to make a way so that your schedule will work out, that you will so that you can continue to equip yourself for the things of God. I hope I'm encouraging somebody this afternoon. You got to get up, you got to pick it up, and you got to hold on to it. And so the Bible says that Hagar sat down and she says, I don't want to see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and she begins to lift her voice up and weep. And that's what many of us are doing right now. We're weeping, and we're complaining, and we're saying, God, where are you? And we're saying, Lord, you know, I know you said you'd never leave or forsake me, so where are you now? And we're opening up our mouths, and we're crying out to God, and we're weeping, and we're just in a place of turmoil and torment because we think that the gift is dead. We think that the purpose is dead. We think that our destiny is not going to come to pass. But verse 17 is where we get our hope, because the Bible says that God heard the voice of the lad. He heard the voice of the lad right where they were. The Bible says that they were in the wilderness of Beersheba. Beersheba is the southernmost part of the land that was settled by the Israelites. You know, many times in the Bible, we hear the territory of the Israelites referred to as from Dan to Beersheba. Beersheba is the most southern place of that territory. It's that place right before you enter into the wilderness. God used Beersheba in many instances in the Bible. It was a barren place that was used to shape some of the most significant lives in the Bible. It's this wilderness place that is going to be used significantly to shape you. Beersheba is derived from the Hebrew word beer, which means well, and Sheba, which means seven. It's also known as the well of oats. You see that number seven in there. What does the number seven mean? The number seven means completion. Completion. I need somebody to hear this word this afternoon. God is going. He is going to complete that thing that he started in you. He is a faithful God, and he will complete that which he has begun. Beersheba, even in that wilderness place, even in your Beersheba, he is going to complete that thing that he has promised you. In that barren place, he's shaping you. It was in Beersheba where Abraham made an oath with King Abimelech about a well that had been dug. It was a promise that was made there between the two of them, that Abimelech would not try to take the well that belonged to Abraham. It was a promise there. In this place, God is keeping his promises to you in this wilderness place. Beersheba also represents a place of surrender. It's where Abimelech surrendered the well to Abraham. This is a place where you need to surrender yourself unto the Lord. This is a place where you need to tell God yes, where you need to say, God, it's all about you and not about me. This is a place where you can cry out to him and say, Lord, I know that you have given me some promises. Lord, I know that all of your promises are yes and you, amen. that you should repent. God, if you have given me this thing, I know that you're going to complete it to the day of salvation. Lord, I know that you're going to do exactly what you said you're going to do in this place of Beersheba. You got to reclaim some things that are yours. As you surrender to God, you got to look in the face of the enemy and let him know that he cannot have what God has said is already yours. He cannot have your promise. Right where you are listening this afternoon, I need you to reclaim your promise. Just like Abraham reclaimed the whales at Beersheba, I need you to reclaim your promise this afternoon. I need you to shake off the weariness. Shake off the lethargy. Shake off everything that would weigh you down, every sin and every weight that would easily beset you. Shake it off this afternoon and reclaim what God has said is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there in Beersheba, where Hagar was with Ishmael, and she began to cry out. What I think is very interesting is that God, it didn't say that God heard the voice of Hagar and responded to the voice of Hagar. It says that God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." God didn't respond to Hagar's cry. God responded to the cry of the lad. The lad was the promise. God has a covenant with the promise that's on the inside of you to fulfill it, because he is not a man that he should lie or a son of man that he should repent. And so if there's a promise on the inside of you, that promise, hallelujah, is speaking right now. That promise on the inside of you, your spirit is crying out right now. That's where your promise resides, in the spiritual realm. And that's where God will connect. He's not going to connect with your flesh. Hagar, and where she was crying from, was a place of flesh. It was a fleshly place. But the lad is representative of the promise, that spiritual thing, hallelujah, that God has released to you. And that is what God will respond to. You got to begin to cry out to God, not from a place of complaining and murmuring and whining, but you have to call on God from that place in the spiritual realm where you know that God is who he says he is, that place of assurance, that place where there is no doubt in your mind that he is going to bring to pass that thing that he has spoken to you. And so the Bible says that God heard the voice of the lad. He's heard the voice of the spirit. He's heard that place of promise. When a cry came from that place of promise, you got to begin to cry to God from that place of promise, what he's told you, what he said to you. It says that he told Hagar, he said, "Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." Where he is. God will meet you right where you are this afternoon. I know it might be tough, and you may think that, you know what, God is not concerned about me because I've moved out of my place of promise. I've sat down here and I've thrown up my hands and almost given up. I've sat down here and I've thrown my promise to the side and I've taken my hands off of the plow and I'm looking back, and you may feel a level of condemnation, but the Bible says that there is no condemnation to him that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we have been freed from the law and sin and death. And we have life in the spirit in Christ Jesus. And so this afternoon, don't let the spirit of condemnation overtake you. I don't care if you have thrown the promise down, because you still have an opportunity to pick it back up. You have an opportunity to get up, to pick it up, and to hold on to it. Come on, somebody. Say it to yourself right now. I'm getting up. I'm picking it up. And I'm holding on to it this time. I'm not going to let it go this time. I'm not going to throw it down this time, because I know there's greatness on the inside of me. Somebody has to make up in their mind who's listening this afternoon that I'm not going to compare myself with someone else. I know I'm not Isaac. I know my thing doesn't play out like someone else, but what I have on the inside of me is still great. What God has called me to do is still integral to the advancement, to the kingdom of God, and I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that the angel told her, he said in verse 18, and this is where the get up part is. He told her in verse 18, he said, "Arise, arise, arise." Get that in your spirit. I am calling to someone on this line and on this broadcast, somebody who's listening. I'm calling you to arise. The Spirit of the Lord says, arise. arise, shake off the sackcloth and ashes, put it aside, and begin to go into a place of praise right now in the things of God. Begin to search and seek after God, even as the deer pants after the water. You got to begin to seek after God like it, your life is dependent upon it. Why? Because your life is dependent upon it. Arise, get up, get up, get up. There's somebody that may be listening who has been bound with depression, and I'm speaking to your spirit right now, and the Spirit of the Lord is saying, arise. And we bind that spirit of depression right now. We bind it up. We bind it up and we cast it off in the name of Jesus. And we decree over your life right now that there is a spirit of joy. The joy of the Lord is engulfing you right now, even as you're listening. Hallelujah. That the chains are being destroyed off of your life as you are arising. The angel of the Lord told Hagar, he said, get up, girl, get up, arise. You can't stay in that low place. You're dwelling in that low place, and that's not where I called you to. You are separated from your promise. You are separated from your purpose when you are in that low place. But if you will arise, you will position yourself to begin to embrace your promise again and walk this thing out. And that's what he told her in verse 18. He said, arise, lift up the lad. Here we go right here. This is the pick it up part. He said, first you got to rise, and that's what I'm saying to you. You got to get up first. The reason you have not been able to go forth in your promise and in your purpose is because you're trying to carry it out in a low place. But the first thing is not to pick up the promise. The first thing is to arise yourself. Because if you pick up your promise where you are, you're bringing your promise in a low place. And God has not called the manifestation and the coming forth of that greatness on the inside of you in low places. Hallelujah. The world is waiting for you. The world is waiting for you to rise up. The glory of the Lord is upon you. It is risen upon you. And so you don't have any choice but to rise. And then lift up the lad. Lift up your promise. Come on, somebody. Lift up your promise this afternoon. Go back. Pick up your promise again. Say yes to God again. Tell him that you'll do whatever it takes. Tell him that even though it looks like the promise was almost on its last breath, that you believe him enough that he can resuscitate it, that he can give your promise mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and begin to bring life back to that thing that you thought was almost dead. Arise and lift up the promise. And then it says, and hold him in thine hand. That's what the angel of the Lord told Hagar. There was three things, that instruction that the angel gave. The first one was for Hagar to arise. The second one was for her to lift up the lad. Lift up the promise. Come on, somebody. And the third thing he told her, he said, hold him in your hand. Hold him in your hand. You got to hold on to that thing. You got to hold on to it for dear life. You got to hold on to it, and you can't let go. It's like when Jacob began to wrestle with the angel. And he said, and he told God, he said, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. That's what you got to do with your promise. You got to hold on to it. You got to hold on to it through the storm. You got to hold on to it through the wind. You got to hold on to your promise when it seems that nobody else is with you. Some of you that are listening today, you're like, I got to go through this thing by myself. Yes, you got to go through it by yourself. Sometimes in a wilderness situation, you're walking by yourself. But I promise you, in the appointed time, God will bring the people that he has ordained for your life, the people who see the greatness on the inside of you, the people who are going to help you lift up the promise again. There are people out there who are for you. I know you've been through some rough things. I know you've had some disappointment in relationships. But I promise you, just like Hagar, those ones that she thought probably would be there for her. Remember I said 14 years she was there and hadn't had a problem. But here it comes, 14 years later, and she's being pushed out and thrust out of her place of comfortability. And God is thrusting some of you today out of that place of comfort, out of that place of just being familiar. And sometimes that's what it takes. But in this season, God will bring, he brought the angel to Hagar. He will bring what you need in this season to take you to the next step, to take you to the next dimension in what God has called you to do. He said, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand. for I will make him a great nation. Look at that right there. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold it in your hand. Hold it in your hand. I need somebody to hold your promise in your hand because God is going to make it great. Hold it in your hand. And when you hold it in your hand, I want you to see yourself doing that great thing that God has called you to do. I want you to call those things that are not as though they were. Go ahead, do it. Do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable in the presence of God again. I know that there were some things that happened to you even in the church. There were some people that were near and dear to you that may have even hurt you and disappointed you in the church. But I implore you this afternoon, please believe God again. Pick it up. Pick it up and hold on to it. Begin to see yourself walking in your purpose and your destiny. See yourself on those platforms that you know that God has called you to. See yourself in other nations. You know God has called you to the nations. Begin to see yourself ministering the word of God, ministering to the people of God. You know God has called you to be an educator working with children. See yourself in front of those children. See yourself preparing the next generation. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, there are some awesome worshipers that are listening this afternoon. See yourself in a place of worship that you've never entered into before. See yourself in the third heaven worshiping God and leading the people of God into that place that they've never been before. I don't know what your dream is. I don't know what your purpose is. But I know that if you're connected to this broadcast, to this radio show this afternoon, that you are beginning even now to feel the ushering of the Holy Ghost. Don't resist it. Don't hold back. Don't go against the grain. Go with what God is saying this afternoon, because I promise you some things are going to begin to happen. This is the wonderful thing right now. It says that right here, in verse 19, and this is what I want you to see right here. Verse 19, it says, and God opened her eyes. God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled a bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. Isn't that very interesting? That it didn't say that God opened her eyes before he gave her the instruction. Before he told her to arise and to lift up the lad and hold him in her hand. He didn't open her eyes before then. What about that? What is that saying? It says that sometimes we got to get up and move when we don't even see it. We got to get up and move according to blind faith. The Bible says that we should walk by faith and not by sight. See, many of us are waiting for God to show it to us before we'll move. And God is saying, when you move, I'll show it to you. God is encouraging somebody on this line tonight to go on and step out in faith. Go on and start that business. I know you don't see all the resources. I know you don't see all of the help. You're wondering how you're going to do this on your own. But I dare you this afternoon to arise, to lift up that promise, and to hold it in your hand. And God is going to begin to open up your spiritual eyes, and you're going to begin to see what you need to do. You're going to begin to see who you need to connect with. You're going to begin to see all the provisions of God. He didn't tell Hagar, he didn't open up Hagar's eyes until after she was obedient. Come on, somebody. God is waiting for your obedience. The Bible said that Jesus even learned through his obedience to the things that he suffered. Jesus, our elder brother, the one who is our example, if he had to go through some things to learn obedience, how much more are we going to have to go through some things to learn obedience? We got to stop bargaining with God and saying, God, if you show me exactly how it's going to be done, you know, if you give me a fleece, then I'll believe you. God said, how many of you are willing to go when you don't see it? That's another level of faith. How many of us can move when we don't know how it's going to work out? How many of us can move when all of the chips are stacked against us? How many of us can move in those places of unsurety where we don't know what's going to happen next? That's what God is looking for in this season. But you got to get up. You got to get up. You got to pick it up. And you got to hold on to your promise. Because God is getting ready to reveal some things. I believe that in this season, the Bible talks about what God will do in the last days. Even in Joel, in the second chapter of Joel, in the 28th verse, it says that, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour my spirit. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. We're living in the last days. That these things are going to begin to come to pass. And we don't want to miss what God is doing. In verse 19, it says, and I'm closing, and it says, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Now, this is the last thing that I want you to get here while you're listening this afternoon. I've given you instruction. I've shared with you what the Spirit of the Lord has shared with me this afternoon. I told you that you got to believe God from a place of faith that you've never believed him before. I told you that you're going to need to go into a place of intimacy. You're going to have to begin to pray again. You're going to have to begin to worship again. And I believe all those things because faith without works is what? Is dead. But right here, what we see Hagar do is following the instructions that God has given her. This is a phrase that I often use even when I'm doing my coaching because I believe it to be true. I believe that we have been misinformed, misled, and we've just been handicapped. That's the word I'm looking for, handicapped in the body of Christ because we want somebody to lay hands on us and speak a word to us and prophesy over us, and we don't want to do the work. But even when I am coaching my clients, or whether I'm ministering to someone on the altar, I believe that this is true, that we must position ourselves to do the work. In this passage of Scripture, in verse 19, we see that Hagar, it says, she saw a well of water. She saw provision. She saw, after God opened her eyes, she saw it. But she didn't just sit there and gaze at it and say, you know what, I wonder how that water's going to get to me. I wonder how that water's going to get to Ishmael. It says that she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. Listen, guys, there's some work for you to do. In all of this, in all of the spiritual instructions that we've given, I want you to hear this because we can pray and we can fast and we can do all those things, and those things are wonderful, and we must do them. We must do them. But after we've done all of that, we have to do the work. We have to put our hands to the plow. We have to be ready to go out and to perform the steps. We got to be ready and willing to go out and do what God has told us to do. We just can't sit aside and think that, okay, the woman of God or a man of God said, I'm going to be a great nation, and then we sit down. We got to begin to go out and position ourselves. We got to study. We got to go back to school. We got to start the business. We got to create the business plan. We got to go to the seminar. We got to go to the workshop. We got to find somebody who is well-versed in what we're trying to do, somebody that has already accomplished what we're trying to accomplish, God's way, that we can get instruction for, that we can get godly wisdom from. We got to get up off of our feet to do the work. And that's what Hagar did. And the Bible says in verse 20, look at this right here, it says that God was with the lad. Look, God is with you. God is with you, and God was with the lad, and the lad grew. He grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. God was with the lad, and God is with you this afternoon. God is wanting to grow you, but it's only going to happen if you begin to connect the word of God with the instructions that he's given you and begin to walk that thing out according to the will of God. I don't know exactly what it is that you have become stagnant in. I don't know how fear has maybe grappled with you and put you in a box and kept you closed in. I don't know. But I know that there is someone that's listening this afternoon that you have been bound with fear and almost to the point where you're paralyzed, almost to the point where you can't even move because you're afraid. The enemy has spoken to you so that you have already created failure in your mind, that when you see yourself walking out, you all walking your purpose out, you also see yourself failing. Well, I cancel that lie from the enemy this afternoon, and I contradict everything that he has spoken over your life. And I decree that the word of God is greater than any word that the enemy could ever speak over your life. And I decree that you will accomplish in this season everything that God has called you to accomplish. You know, I don't know everybody that's listening. I don't see faces, and this is a different avenue of ministry. But I tell you, if you will hold on to what God has spoken this afternoon, I promise you that you will experience the blessings of God. It's not an easy walk. It's not an easy walk, woman of God. It's not an easy walk, man of God. But I promise you that if you are obedient, if you are willing and obedient, that's what the word says, that you will eat the fruit of the land. You will eat the fruit of the land. But if you don't, if you sit there and you don't do anything and you continue to be inactive, you're not going to see anything produced in your life. And this is a season for harvest. We said it earlier, it's a season for harvest. And so I hope that you got something from the word of God this afternoon. I'm going to pray with you, and then I'm going to hand this show back over to our host here, to Minister Sophie. But I want to pray with you this afternoon before we hang up, because I know that that you logged on to this broadcast for a reason. I know that there's something for you. I told you earlier that you needed to be receptive and open. I hope you've jotted some things down and some things have been solidified for you. But we're going to go forth in a word of prayer, because I want to seal this with prayer, because I know that God is going to do something extraordinary in your life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this afternoon for all that you have allowed us to behold in the spiritual realm. We thank you for this word this afternoon, God. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit that's in the midst of us. We thank you, God, for enlightening the eyes of our understanding as we have ministered the word of God today. Father, we know that you do all things well and that you don't make any mistakes. And so, Lord, in knowing that, God, we embrace to where we are right now, Father. When we've done all that we could do to stand, Father, we make a decision today to continue to stand. We thank you, Father, that all of your promises are true, that you don't lie to us, that you don't even know how to lie, that you don't even know how to be untrue. And so, Father, we embrace the truthfulness of you, the truthfulness of the promises that you have given to all of us, Lord. And, Father, I pray over those under the sound of my voice right now who have tuned in this afternoon. And, God, I pray over their promises right now. I pray over their purposes right now. And, God, I decree over their lives that everything that you have put on the inside of them, that it will produce, Father, 30, 60, and 100-fold return in their lives. I thank you, Father, that what you have said about them, that it has already been settled in the heavenlies, oh God, and that even now, as I pray, that it is being settled in their hearts and in their spirits, God. I thank you this afternoon, Father, that no weapon formed against the people of God will prosper, and every tongue that would rise in judgment, that, God, you have given us the ability to condemn it in the name of Jesus. And so we come against every word curse that has been sent out among the people, God, and we thank you, Father, that there is no word that is greater than your word, Father. And we thank you this afternoon, Lord, that every mind, oh God, is covered with the mind of Christ. We come against, oh God, the plots and the ploys of the enemy that would keep your people down and weary, and we speak the joy of you right now, and we decree that the joy of the Lord is our strength in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that every barren place side of your people is beginning to be watered right now, Father, with the water of your word, oh God. We thank you for a torrential downpour in the spiritual realm, God, that you'll begin to pour out your spirit as you said you would in the book of Joel. And God, that you'll begin to saturate, Father, your people like never before. There will be no dry places, Father, that there will be no places that are unwatered, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to produce, Father, in this end-time harvest, God, like never before. I thank you, Father, hallelujah, that you are giving hope right now, that one that has sat down and thrown the promise aside, that there has been a reconnection in the spiritual realm, and that you are reconnecting and calling us back to our promise, God, that you are calling us, oh God, in covenant relationship with our promise, oh God, that thing that you have birthed out of us, Father, that we cannot separate from it, Lord, but there will always, Lord, be a calling to be back in covenant relationship with what you have promised, God, and we come against every lie of the enemy that will speak into the ear of your people right now and tell us that we cannot do what you have called us to do, and we decree that we are the righteousness of God. We decree that we can do all things through strengthens us. We decree this afternoon that we are the head and not the tail. We decree, hallelujah, that we are a mighty army that has been raised up in this end time to go forth into the world, hallelujah, and to call in the end time harvest, that we are not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that as we go forth in our vocation, as we go forth in our giftings, as we go forth in our anointings, as we go forth in our callings, God, that we will not turn deaf ear and blind eye to what you are doing in those environments, Lord, but that we will always have a word on our tongue, that we'll always be ready, God, to speak your word and to speak salvation to them that are lost, oh God. We know that you, Lord, that you wish not one would perish, God, that but all that would come to repentance, Lord. And God, we have that same desire that all will come to repentance in this time, and that you would use us, oh God, hallelujah, to bring forth, oh God, your dictates in the earth realm, Lord. We thank you for that this afternoon. We give you glory, oh God. And Father, we pray, Lord, over the woman of God, the host of this show right now. We pray over Minister Sophie right now, oh God. And we thank you that the work of her hands, oh God, hallelujah, will continue to go forth, Father. And she will continue to reach the masses, oh God, through her ministry, Father, that she will continue to be, oh God, that conduit, that you'll continue to be that connection, Father God. We thank you for her life, and we thank you, Lord God, that every need is being supplied in her life right now according to your riches and glory. And we decree, God, that mission will go forth, that the mission will go forth, oh God, even as you have called her to foreign soil, Lord. We pray over that right now in the name of Jesus, and we decree, God, that she will, Father, go forth, that she will not miss anything, God. Hallelujah, but that you will walk synchronized and syncopated with the move of you, and that as the hearts are ready, oh God, in the other nations, Lord, that as she walks upon foreign soil, hallelujah, God, that the spirit of you will go before her and will make every crooked place straight in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and every life that she's been ordained to touch, we thank you, Lord God, that she will touch it, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we decree miracle signs and wonders will come forth out of the vessel in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we give you praise and glory for it, oh God. We give you praise and glory for it right now, Father. We say it belongs to you, Father God. Hallelujah. And we submit ourselves to your will and to your way, henceforth and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. That was truly an awesome word of God. Coming from an anointed woman of God. And I don't even need to ask you the questions I normally ask, because I normally ask, what would you say to someone in that situation? And you already answered that. So we can,
praise God. Praise God.
And then I don't need to ask you if you would pray for them because you've already done that.
Praise God.
So I guess the only question to ask is two questions. Do you have any last words for anyone who might be listening? Any final words of encouragement?
Well, I just feel, like I said earlier, I know God does all things well, and he orders our steps according to his word. And I believe that he ordered those who are listening this afternoon, he ordered them to listen to this broadcast, to this show. And I believe that those who are listening are going to experience the miracles and the signs and the wonders that follow the word of God. And if they will only line themselves up, many times we listen to the word of God and we hear the word of God and we walk away and we say, well, that was a good word. But we never take the time to apply the instruction that was given. And we wait and we wonder why things have not changed in our lives. And we're asking God, well, what's the next set of instructions? And he's saying, listen, you didn't do the last thing I told you to do. And so I would just encourage the people of God who are listening this afternoon to, you know, to do what it is that God has called you to do. I mean, there are some steps that he's called somebody even listening now, and it seems really little and really trivial. It's the thing that God has called you to do. Even as small as a phone call, picking up the phone and calling someone. But I encourage you, pick up the phone and make the phone call. I believe that you are one step of obedience away from the greatest hour of your life. And I don't say that because I want to puff someone up or I want to make somebody feel great or bigger than they are, because it's all about the kingdom. And so whatever God does in your life, he's doing it so that he can be glorified and the people can be blessed. And so I believe it's the greatest hour, but I believe it's the greatest hour that the kingdom has seen. And us as the people of God, we just get the perk of the blessings that come along with it. And so I just encourage us, you know, that's what I would leave the people with this afternoon, is that just please, you know, pick up your promise. Walk it out. Do it. Because you're going to see things happen differently than they did before.
Amen. The second question would be, would you come back?
Absolutely, sister. Of course I would. I would be honored to come back. You just let me know. You're such an awesome woman of God. I thank God for hooking us up on Periscope. I'm telling you, you know, if we use some of the tools out there, we never know what God. That's what I mean by little stuff. Now, who would have thought getting on Periscope would lead to this relationship and to this opportunity? And so I thank God for you, and of course I'll come back if you give me the invitation.
Awesome. We are going to have her come back. For those of you who don't know, I do have a Periscope, but right now I have some glitches. So I have to wait till I get my laptop, because on my phone I can't do it right. And it, even though I record, it's not letting me share it. So I have to wait. Perhaps when I get my laptop, I'll have a better venue and it'll be able to really get out there, and you guys will be able to see me instead of just hearing me. But then the glitch to that is you won't be able to call in and give me your thoughts. But I'm just teasing. I have for the most part stopped that anyway, because of, well, I won't say why, because I don't want to encourage them. but we want to thank everybody that has joined us this afternoon. Queen Georgiana, who was in the chat room and she was listening, and I have no idea who she is, so she'll have to introduce herself and then caller 404-519-1148. I'm assuming that's someone you know or your husband. But we really thank you all for listening, and we've got to have you back. We've definitely got to have
Amen.
You back.
Amen. Amen.
But tell our listeners how they can reach you, how they can follow you, and all that good stuff.
Amen. Amen. Well, I am on all the social media platforms. I'm on Twitter and Periscope, and my handle out there is Live Purpose Coach, LIV Purpose Coach on Twitter and Periscope. And I'm also on Instagram, Purpose Coach Kim on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook as Kimberly Jones or Kimberly Jones Living on Purpose Life and Relationship Coaching. And there are several websites. If you go to KimberlyJ.net, That you'll find all the information about the life coaching, as well as the ministry, and also have a women's ministry. If I can share that, Minister Sophie, about the women's ministry, momentofawakening.org. That's our website that gives information about a women's encounter. Is it okay if I share about the women's encounter?
Absolutely. That's why I said
okay. Thank you. You know, you opened that door. There is so much to tell. But in October 22nd through the 24th, right here in the Atlanta area, we are going to have the Awakening Women's Encounter. And we've been doing this women's event for about 8 years now. This year, our theme is revived, renewed, and restored. God is doing a new thing. And so if you go to momentofawakening.org, you can find out all of the information about the women's encounter. And we would love, I don't care if you're in California or where you are listening, we would love for you to come and join in with us for this awesome time of ministry in the presence of God. You know, we stay over for Thursday night, Friday night, and we stay until Saturday afternoon. And I'm telling you, it is always a blessing, and God always does exactly what it is that He promised us that He's going to do. And so we have the expectation that we're going to be revived, renewed, and restored at this year's awakening. So go to Moment of Awakening to get more information about that. And prevailinglove.org is our church website, prevailinglove.org. I know that was a lot, so hopefully you got one a piece of that information.
And if you didn't get it, find her on Facebook. It's there. So
yeah, you found me, didn't you?
Yeah, that's how I found you.
Exactly.
I couldn't find you the normal way. I found you through your life coach.
Amen. Amen.
And so, but again, she is an awesome woman of God. And she has her, unfortunately, she has her events at the same time that my pastor is having her events, and I'm committed I'm committed to be in Las Vegas in October. So
okay.
So I won't be
It'll
able to join
be
you
time.
In October. Yeah.
We'll have another time.
I'm definitely committed to being there. So,
Amen.
But it's awesome. And for those of you who have just joined us, or maybe you just caught the tail end of Pastor Kimberly's message, no worries. I will post it on. You can either catch the replay, or I will also be posting the link on Facebook. And there are a couple people that can't view it directly from Facebook, so I will put it in their message box so they can open the link. And Pastor Kimberly, I always send the speakers a copy as well so they can share it. So no worries on that. And I mentioned my pastor a few minutes ago, we want to keep her in prayer because there's some things going on with her family in her immediate family, and they need our prayers. And we want to remember my Aunt Louisa's family, my cousins. They laid my Aunt Louise to rest today, so we want to remember them in prayer. And also the family of Ivy Harbert. She was laid to rest today, and we want to remember them in prayer. If you don't know them, don't worry, I do. But we want to remember them in prayer, and Pastor Kimberly, tell your husband thank you for sharing you with me.
Amen, I will.
And would you mind closing us out in prayer? You have been listening live to The Fire of Love. I am Minister Sophie. This ministry is a ministry of Love International Outreach and Conference Speaking, the ministry and daughter work of Well-Watered Woman, where Pastor Tony R. is the pastor. God bless you. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Pastor Kimberly, if you would take us out.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you, Father, for your word. And, Father, we just seal this word over every life and in every heart today, God. We thank you, Father, that there will be miracle signs and wonders that follow this word in the lives of your people. We cover Minister Sophie and her ministry, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither have it entered into the heart of man what you have prepared for them that love you. We just give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, y'all. To my friends in Africa, I forgot to mention you, but thank you for listening. We are out. Good night, everybody.
Good night.